You know, context in what we read, the context of what we read is vital. It is vital. In any subject, the context of what is said is of paramount importance. You just can't take a line or a verse and quote it and hope that it means what you think it means. You need the context. If we look at verse 2, it's our key verse in this whole thing. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured because Jesus Christ received sinners and he even ate with them. They were murmuring at that. They were murmuring at his association with the lower classes, with those who didn't measure up to their particular brand of religion. They were murmuring. That's the context. And so everything now that the Lord says is in relation to that accusation. This is the context. You'll see there in verse 4, the first of this trilogy of parables, there's the helplessly lost. An animal is lost, a sheep, having no reason or rationale. It's lost. The shepherd finds it. Then if you look there at verse 8, this coin is hopelessly lost. A coin is an inanimate object. The sheep was helpless. This is hopeless. Then you come down to verse 11. A certain man had two sons. This is willfully lost. You see how the Lord focuses in on what he's really getting at, ever narrowing the beam. Verse 4, it's one of 100. Verse 8, it's one of 10. Verse 11, it's one of 2. And for this last illustration, the Lord changes from the animal, and he changes from the inanimate, because the animal and the inanimate could never adequately portray the love of the Father to a sinner. And so, this is a very human story because the Lord now has changed to the human story. A sheep or coin could never do that. He tells us a story of a household. This is a domestic story. A story that might be found in any one of 1,000 homes in Portadown today. A story that might be enacted in any one of 10,000 homes in Ulster today. A young man, well to do, a loving, kind father, and no doubt a loving, kind mother. A good upbringing. He had, as we say in Ulster, in him and on him. Never wanted for a thing. Had something good coming to him when he would be old enough to look after it. Priceless. What this young man had was priceless. But he couldn't see its value. He couldn't see its value. And one day it all changes for him, and one day his whole world and the household is turned upside down. You see, friend, nothing stays the same for long. It's the one single thing that I miss from my African years. People say, do you miss it? I say, no. But there's one thing I do miss, and that is the morning devotion with the staff and workers. Just a little, sit down, read a portion, pick a verse, tell them a story, talk to them about the Lord. I miss that. And I always told them, and reminded them even in a letter recently that I wrote to them, nothing stays the same for long. If you have a job and a wage, look after it and do something with your money, because circumstances can change. And in any of our homes, circumstances can change dramatically. Dramatically. I'm told, I've never seen it, but I'm going to see it. I have a plan to go and see it. I'm told there's a relatively new clinic in Galway. And there's a beautiful foyer, marble and whatever. And all over the walls, there are proverbs from all over the world. And one of them, it was a Catholic nurse told me this. I was in hospital. And in the middle of the night, I wasn't sleeping, and she was on duty, and we were sitting talking. Talking about the bread and butter issues of life. And she said this proverb said, listen to it. Health is a crown, the nurse said. Worn by the well, but only seen by the sick. Think about that. Think about that. We never miss our privileges till they're taken from us. Every one of us, every household here, every young person, let us think about this. We never miss our privileges until they are removed from us. And here was a young man had a priceless possession. And I tell you something. I know what I'm talking about here today. Because I didn't have it. And that's how I know. I did not have it. But this young man had a priceless possession in the upbringing and the early childhood that he had. And one day, through his own foolishness, it all turned upside down. He lost control when he said, give me. And he was ruined, verse 14, when he spent all. And in between those years, he lived like a man bereft of reason. A tragedy. What a tragedy. To see a young person give up the very best of company for the worst of company. To see a young person turn their back on their mother and father and go into the world and into the debauchery of the world. Spend his living with raddest living. And we know what that means. We know what it can mean. Casting away his happiness to a thoughtless crowd. And the saddest thing of all is there wasn't a thing his parents could do about it. Here is a case, my friend. Here is a case that only God could solve. That's the issue here. Remember verse 2? The context? This man receiveth sinners. Why does he receive sinners? Because sinners don't know to come to him himself. They need him. He's a case that only God can solve. I want you to note with me very briefly three things from this. God's evangelism. The finding of a sinner. Or if you like, the restoration of a backslider. because it's a parable. We may take it, but we need the hand of us and the Spirit of God in it. First thing is, we see he saw himself for the first time in a true light, verses 17 and 18. When he came to himself, think of those words. Think of those words. When he came to himself. Sinners behave like the insane. There's no rationale, there's no reason with what they do or say. This young man one day came to himself. He saw for the first time that he was wrong. That he was wrong. Not his father, not his mother, not his elder brother, not his family upbringing. He saw for the first time that he was wrong. You know, we don't hear so much about this in evangelism these days. We hear a lot today about Jesus being a good guy and giving Jesus a try and making a commitment. I want to tell you, when we look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say, there's a lot about the blood and sin and guilt and repentance and conviction and personal unworthiness, which is not being always preached these days. I want to tell you something. No sinner can be truly saved unless, like this young man, they come to an end of themselves. Until they see themselves as God sees them, then there'll be no buts or becauses. They will take a look at themselves and they'll come to themselves and they'll see themselves as unworthy and unclean and undone before a holy God. Christian, let me say something here. Never ever coax a person to say the sinner's prayer. Will you just let me illustrate that? Never ever do that. Never push someone to make a profession. I went in to see an old lady one time. She had another minister who was a friend, and he had been in. In fact, he asked me to call and see her because I lived beside her. He told me she trusted the Lord. I went in to see her. I'll tell you the very words she said to me. I went in to see her. I said, "I believe you trusted the Lord." Do you know what that woman said to me? She says, "If I hadn't have said I was saved, he would have sat all night." That's what she said to me. Well, that knocked any evangelism out of it for a start. Men and women, never, ever coax a person to say the sinner's prayer. A person must come to an end of themselves. They must see themselves as unworthy. Never simply ask a child to ask Jesus into their heart. The gospel is much more than that. It's more than that. It has relation to sin and condemnation. It has relation to conviction. And there must be conviction before conversion. There must be a realization, a rational acceptance of Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross. There must be that. And this young man, and we see he's a picture here of a sinner being found. But he wasn't found until he came to himself. That's when he was found. When he came to himself. And moving on, for the time's moving on. Never push a soul Never force someone to go to church. Never force someone to do something in the hope that you're going to save them. Because the Lord can work with the swine troughs of this world. In that inner, secret, still, small voice, when the father was breaking his heart, when his mother was waiting up at nights for him, with the still, small voice, the Spirit of God touched him as he sat looking at the swine and would love to fill his belly with the husks that the swine had eaten. God worked in his heart. That's the message here. Let's not get away from verse 2. This man receiveth sinners. Here we have a sinner, and we've shown how he came. He came to himself. He came to an end of himself. He saw then, for the first time, the value of his father's house. I will arise and go to my father, for is not the servants better fed than I am? He came to himself. Secondly, briefly, in the saving of a soul, the Holy Spirit changes the will. That's the issue. That's the crunch. I will arise. The miracle of grace did not take place when he hugged the Father. No. No. The miracle of grace happened when he made the decision to go to the Father. When he arose, verse 20. One night in Grace Free Presbyterian Church, these two young girls and strangers they were. I'd never seen them before, to my recollection. And they remained behind after the service. Never forget it. I could take you to the very room where we met. Both of them came. And this young woman was in tears. She had some mascara on. Mascara can have its place, I suppose. But you see, when someone's crying, it was hideous. It was like something out of the Chamber of Horrors. It was terrible. And the Creator was sitting, crying, and these two black channels running down her cheeks, dabbing and trying to stop it. You know what that young girl was saying? And why she was crying? She was crying because the Lord spoke to her that night so much in the meeting that she knew that she had to be saved. I couldn't believe my ears, what I was hearing from her. And the words she said to me were these: why is this happening to me? I'm happy with my friends. I go to the dances. I do this, I do that, and the other. Why is God doing this to me? I tell you, these are solemn things. You know, when the will's changed, the rest is easy. But when the will's not changed, you're on a beaten docket. This man arose. I will arise. Men and women, unless this is happening, you needn't go any further. Because I want to tell you something. You coax a soul to say the sinner's prayer. You're not only deluding yourself, but you're deluding them. You're deluding them. Remember verse 2, this man receiveth sinners. The father only received the son because the son came back. That's why. The father only received the son because he saw him a great way off. The son was doing the walking. And the father was doing the watching. See on the portal, that's a lovely hymn. See on the portals. He's watching and waiting, watching for you and for me. Finally, this morning, when the Lord saves a soul, he puts them on the path that leads to home. Verse 20. Take a look at it. He rose and he came to his father. And when he did come to his father, the father treated him as he was. There was rejoicing. If Jesus Christ said there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, we see the rejoicing here in the domestic household. He called for the servants to bring a robe and bring a ring and bring shoes and kill the fatted calf. You see, sinner, and I might be talking to a sinner this morning. People say, oh, I couldn't keep it. And that's true. You couldn't keep it. If you took it upon yourself, you couldn't keep it. But I'm not here today because I'm keeping it. I'm here today because he's keeping me. That's the difference, because when the call of God, the divine call of God, comes to the soul. Listen to this, Romans 8, 32 to 35. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? In tribulation, or distress, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded, none of these things. None of these things can prevent us reaching the abode, the place prepared for us. In my Father's house are many mansions. I know that. I'm going there. God has said it's a mansion. Well, I don't need a mansion. I'll take it if it's there. But I want to tell you something, friend. I'll be happy just to get there. And I know I'll get there. Because the Word of God, the precious Word of God, tells us that we will get there. Because when he said, I will arise and go to my Father. I will arise. Once the will was changed. Once the Holy Spirit did the work. The Holy Spirit that enlightens and awakens and calls and gives grace, the gift of faith. The same Holy Spirit. The Lord said, he's our comforter. And he'll abide with us forever. There's a sinner here today. You've been described in these words. You're like the prodigal. Well, I want to tell you something. God is calling the prodigal. He's calling the prodigal. Let me tell you in closing a story. It happened to me 2 weeks ago. A story. A true story. A tragic, tragic story. No, I'm not in the ministry now. I'm in another ministry. I'm in Africa. Not literally, but I'm there. I got a phone call. Sorry, I made a phone call. I heard that a woman that I knew had inquired about my number because she was sick. Very sick. And I inquired when she inquired. And I was told, a couple of weeks ago. So when I heard that, and I heard she was very sick, I phoned them. She knew me from years ago. Her mother was a member of our church, Christian woman. And she took very ill with inoperable cancer. And I phoned them. And the husband said to me, he said, yes, we got your number and we were going to phone you, but now, listen, she had inoperable cancer, you know. Nothing could be done. He said, We just didn't think it had come to that yet. Well, I said, just you call me anytime you want me. Just 2 weeks ago. This is, the whole thing just took a few weeks. I got a call. Can you go straight to the hospital? And visitors on the day. I said, I'll be there within an hour. I was there within an hour. And the lady that had been very ill and was going to phone me was lying on the bed dying. There was neither voice nor hearing. For I asked her, do you know I'm here? Can you hear me? I left that bedside at 4:30. And she was dead at 5:15. There was nothing I could do. Listen. God is calling the prodigal. And come. Come without delay. You get right with God today, sinner.